You're listening to a sermon from Plus Life, a church that exists to see lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you will be stirred in your heart and renewed in your mind as you hear the preaching of God's word today.
Good evening, church. Glad that we can once again gather for another night of worship and word. Now, I know everyone is itching to get back to church and worship together physically, and rest assured, those conversations are happening, and we are definitely praying into those things. But until then, we are absolutely thankful that we are still able to gather, even if it be digitally. For the next couple of weeks, and as we enter into the summer season, myself and the other elders will be delivering to you a bunch of standalone sermons for your benefit. And as we saw last week, expect something new from the Lord that He has specifically laid on our hearts to deliver to you. And we hope and trust that the sermons will be very timely and meaningful to everyone who tunes in. So with that said, tonight turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be reading from verse 4 to 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 9. It says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come once again humbly before your throne of grace, God, we just ask for help. Lord, I pray that you would remove any distractions, anything weighing on our minds and on our hearts, Lord God, tonight, that would tear us away, that would lead us astray from being in your presence tonight, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you would just convict hearts. Lord, show us where we've gone wrong. Show us, Lord God, where we need to realign or correct ourselves. And I pray, oh God, that lives would be changed by the power of your gospel this night, oh God. Please use me as your instrument of peace, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Tell the person beside you or text somebody the title of tonight's sermon: Brain Drain. Brain Drain. Church, I don't know about you, but my brain is tired. It seems to me if there has been anything accomplished in this past season of pandemic, with all the world events that's going on, it seems to me that if there's anything that's been accomplished, it's to bring everyone to a point of mental exhaustion. Literally, I feel like whenever I turn on the news or go on social media, there's always something new to stress my brain or drain my mental fortitude. You have news on the coronavirus. You have news about killer wasps at some point. Talks about recession. You had news about closures and social distancing. Then more coronavirus stuff. Then just when we thought that 2020 would just chill a bit, the George Floyd murder happened. And then the protests and the riots. Now it seems like almost every day there's some new development or new racial injustice being perpetrated. All the while the coronavirus is like, wait until the fall for the second wave, right? Like, come on, like what happened to 2020 being the year of vision? Like, wow, more like lack of vision. And that's just been, that's just what's been happening in the world. And not to mention what's happening in our personal life. The stress is there, like from taking care of our family members during this pandemic to finances and work in the season. I know some of us have been dealing with instability with jobs, some even being laid off because of this pandemic. Others are dealing with relocating, moving to new places, wedding planning, childcare, sick family members, funerals. So many things that in this pandemic has complicated and has made very much impossible to do. And as much as we need to concern ourselves with a lot of these things, I can't help but feel like my brain is drained. I don't know about you all, church, but I am mentally fatigued from all this information and concerns and things to worry about and news that things are just getting worse and worse. There are days where I feel like I just want to just shut my brain off and not have to think about all these things and not have to worry so much and even escape from everything. Can I get an amen? Right? Like, can anyone else relate? Well, if you are in the same boat or can relate to me, church, I believe God's word for you and me tonight is to rest, reset, to not resign, not succumb, not lose hope, but rather come and realign our minds to the rest and peace that we can find in Christ. See, church, though the temptation to resign mentally is persistent, the invitation to rest spiritually is very much present. And the topic for tonight is how to de-stress our brains from all the information and the news and concerns that we are bombarded with on a daily basis. Not so that we can no longer care about them, but rather that we find peace even in the midst of them. I love how last week Elder Benji preached on refocusing our hearts on Christ and also preached from Philippians as well, and now without even discussing with one another, I'm preaching on resetting our minds and also preaching from Philippians. It's like an unintentional mini series, at least. I mean, at least unintentional by us, but you know, the Holy Spirit works in awesome ways and cool ways. So the desire from this sermon tonight is for our minds to be realigned to the things of God so that we can find that rest, that peace, even in the midst of all the things that we need to concern ourselves with in this season. Something that I've been doing in the past weeks or so is cleaning out some old computers. My mom gave me some computers that she was no longer using. But they were filled with a bunch of junk and that just took up a lot of space and made things slower, and that it's just a bunch of memory that is no longer useful. And so what I had to do was pretty much reset the computers back to the essentials of it, right? So that it was no longer slower, and I had to delete a lot of files and just to bring it back to the necessities of the computer. And similarly, in order for us to reset our brain, so to speak, the idea is to get rid of the junk that is cluttering and taking up space and just adding to our anxiety and get back to the essentials so that God's peace would fill the void instead, leaving us space to better deal and better respond to the concerns and pressures of our day. Again, it's not a matter of getting to a place of no longer caring about what's going on in the world, about what's happening in our lives, but rather making room for God's peace in our minds so that we can better handle, better care for the things going on around us. This is what Paul is exhorting us to do in our passage, in fact. Notice the apostles focus on the mind. In verse 6, he says, "Do not be anxious. Anxiety is a mental issue." Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then after giving a list of good things in verse 8, Paul says, or he ends it by saying, "Think about these things." The apostle Paul was correlating the content of our minds to our capacity for peace. So, and what we are presented with are three proven practices to reduce our anxiety as believers and attain the peace that passes all understanding. Paul even says at the closing of our passage, he says in verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So let's unpack what these things are tonight so that we too can have rest for our weary minds in a world that really just wearies the mind, and have the peace of God in the midst of it all. So let's jump into our passage tonight. Let's go to the beginning of it. Our passage begins with Paul saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, if you know anything about the context of this letter, this sentiment from Paul is very much out of the ordinary, considering his circumstances at that time. Paul is writing Philippians from prison, from, I believe, house arrest, usually not a context to be rejoicing in. In addition, his imprisonment was the culmination of him being persecuted, slandered, shipwrecked, brought to trial, beaten, having received false accusations. Yet his exhortation to his readers, to us, is to rejoice. To rejoice. In fact, if you read through the entirety of Philippians, you'll find that nowhere else in the New Testament will you hear Paul calling believers to be joyful and rejoice more than what we see in this letter alone. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. The word he is using there is kario, to rejoice or to be glad. The root word of this is actually related to kara, which means joy, and charis, which means grace. So evidently what Paul means to say when he calls believers to rejoice is to delight in God's grace. The rejoicing that Paul calls us to is not some insincere emotion or superficial sentiment where even though we are suffering and hurting and are in pain, going through trials, we put on a fake smile like everything is okay. My son Judah does this thing now where whenever he sees someone new, even though he is shy or nervous or feels uncomfortable about that individual, he'll smile anyways. But you can fully tell he's not okay, because there's usually tears welling up in his eyes, and he's like, ha, 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 stranger danger, right? Like, in the same way, Paul is not calling you, believer, to some superficial emotion in order to cover up or mask the stress, the worry, the sufferings from the trials of this world, but rather Paul is calling us to genuinely delight in God's grace, in the ways that God has lavishly poured out his grace on us. See, with everything that's going on in the world, we have a choice. I'm talking to you, my Arminian brother, right? I'm appealing to your senses. We have a choice. Either we stress about and mourn about everything that's going on, or we can delight, we can rejoice in the infinite ways that God has demonstrated his grace towards us. Here's the first practice that Paul calls us to, believer. Listen, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Listen, believer, if you have breath in your lungs, if you have food in your bellies, if you have a roof over your head, if you have clothing on your back, if you have a family that supports and loves you, if you have friends that care and surround you, if you have a job, if you have an income, if you have a bed to sleep on at night, if you have a car to drive or a metro pass to get around or even legs to walk on, if you have eyes to see or ears to hear or taste buds to taste osmos, if you have gone out almost every day because of work despite the pandemic but have not contracted the virus, or if you have contracted the virus but have gotten better, or if you drive around a lot but haven't gone into an accident in the last week, in the last month, in the last year, or if you have a sound mind still able to think and process despite everything that's been going on in the world, if you are still able to pray and read your Bible and lift up hands in worship and still call Jesus Lord of your life, then brother and sister, you have something to rejoice about. All of it, and infinitely more, is from the beautiful, bountiful grace of a good God and merits rejoicing. We can either rejoice in the having or be resentful in the lacking. And let me tell you, listener, the first is less stressful than the latter. Church, as children of God, regardless of what this season has brought us, we have more reason to rejoice than all other people simply because we are in Christ. Therefore, our demeanor, our response to all these problems of the world ought to be different than the world. Paul even says in the next verse, in verse 5 of our passage, he says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone." The Greek here is epikese, meaning gentleness or moderateness. In the context of our passage, it describes one who is not frantic and anxious and worrisome, but rather one who is at peace. Paul literally says in the next verse, "Do not be anxious about anything." So Paul is saying, rejoice. And let people know why you are rejoicing and not mourning. Rejoice. And let people know why you are praising in affliction and not pacing in anxiety. Rejoice. And let people know why you are at peace in a world that lacks peace. He says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And then, as if to take the thought to its pinnacle idea, Paul reminds us of our greatest reason to rejoice. He says at the end of verse 5, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything." The ultimate reason as to why we can rejoice in our affliction, as to why our minds should be at peace despite all that's happening around us in the world, is because Christ is coming soon. That's what Paul means here. The Lord is at hand. Paul is actually quoting a very common saying back in the early church, and something that maybe us in the modern church, us modern Christians, should be saying more. He is saying, "Maranatha, our Lord is coming. Maranatha, the Lord cometh." And then Paul connects that with the exhortation to not be anxious. The Lord is at hand. Maranatha, semicolon, right? Do not be anxious about anything. The ultimate reason as to why we should rejoice and be at peace in God's good graces and not be anxious is because the Lord is at hand. Maranatha. Christ is coming soon. And when he comes, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Listen, church, if you want to ease your mind from all the stuff that's going on in the world, rejoice in the Lord. Ask yourself, when was the last time you just stopped to praise God for being alive, for the breath in your lungs, for the blessings you have, for all the ways he has poured out grace on your life? When was the last time you just marveled at God's goodness in your life? When was the last time your heart was filled with excitement at the thought of our Savior's return? See, I understand that sometimes it's hard to see those things, all the good things, when all we see is the bad things, the difficulties, the sufferings in our lives and in the world. And we see so much of it that we begin to think that's all there is. But understand, church, that even the bad in our lives, the things that are so that we suffer through, understand that even in those things we can rejoice and thank God for. Why? Because James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Now, what's interesting is this word here for perfect, telios in the Greek, refers to something that is not inherently good, but is being made good, being perfected over time. This, of course, relates to what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, 28, a very famous verse. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purposes. All things. So that trial that you are going through right now, brother, it may not be inherently good, but God is working it together for good. The emotional despondency that you are feeling right now, dear sister, will not always be that way, because God is not done with you and he is working it out for your good. That crisis that you are experiencing, beloved, it may not start good, but you can rest assured that in Christ it will be worked out for good. Listen, now, if that's the case, if that's the truth that God's word assures us, brothers and sisters, that in Christ, regardless if our circumstances are good or bad, God will work it out for our good, then we have a great reason to rejoice. Listen, so whether in the good that God provides us or in the bad that God permits to us, Rejoice. Church, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Let's go back to verse 6 of our passage. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The second practice we must undertake if we want our minds to be at peace despite all the things happening and going on in the world is simply request in prayer. Request in prayer. Paul says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, church, when this whole pandemic started, what did you do first? Did you stock up on toilet paper? Did you read article after article on the virus and the symptoms? When the numbers of the infected and deaths started to climb, and talks about social distancing and quarantine started to come up, what did you do first? When the video of George Floyd, the George Floyd murder was released, and the protests started coming up and the riots, what did you do first? Did you watch more media reports about it, post something on social media to show your solidarity with the cause? Or with all the news of how the world is seemingly getting worse and worse with all the developments, what was your initial response, your initial reaction? Is it wrong for me to think that maybe prayer wasn't one of the first things that even we as believers did in response to these things that are going on? Why does it seem like prayer has taken a back seat to all the precautions, all the actions that we've been taking in this past season? Do we as God's people, the people who in Christ have complete access to the throne of grace in our times of need, no longer consider prayer as a viable action to take in times of crisis? Have we forgotten the power of prayer, or do we even believe in prayer anymore? No, see, I think people do believe in prayer. In fact, I really do believe that people have been praying throughout this pandemic, throughout this past season. The only problem is who those prayers have been directed to. Pandemic happens, and let's trust in the government to find a cure. Let's trust in the policies to keep the virus at bay. The protests happen, and let's cry out to the government to make reforms. Let's trust in ourselves to make the change happen. People have been praying in this past season. They have been crying out to something, putting their faith and trust in something, but it's in governments and movements and in trusting in themselves to rectify what's been going on in the world. People have been praying, but not to God. When a crime is happening, you would call the police. When there's a fire, you would call the firefighters. When there's when somebody needs medical attention, you would call the paramedics. Listen, if your phone broke down at this moment, you would go to the Apple store to get it fixed. So when your world is falling apart, why wouldn't you go to the creator of it? When you don't know what to do, why wouldn't you go to the one who has the answers? Why wouldn't you call on the one who is able to heal and protect and restore and redeem? Paul says in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What this tells us, church, is that there is no concern too little or crisis too big that we cannot lift up to God in prayer. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What we forget about this verse is that the need is relative, but the help is definite. Our needs vary, but our help in Christ is assured. So what reason then do we have to not come to God in prayer? See, the reason people don't pray is pride and idolatry. Pride that we don't need God's help, that we can manage on our own, do things on our own. Again, self-reliance. And idolatry in that we put our trust for help in other things, in other people, in other powers. No wonder we don't have peace, because apart from God, there is no peace. Paul says in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the result of praying. See, this is how the peace that passes all understanding works. When we pray, the Bible assures us that God will listen. Psalm chapter 10, verse 17. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear. So we can have confidence that our prayers are heard, but that also God is able to help. Prayer demonstrates a confidence in God and His ability to change our circumstances. So, the efficacy of our prayers, coupled with the effectiveness of God in our times of need, ought to produce in us a peace that says everything is going to be okay. A peace that endures despite the changing circumstances. And because God doesn't change. And a peace in Christ that surpasses not just our understanding, but also surpasses all our fears, all our worries, and even all our needs. God's peace surpasses understanding, because when the rest of the world would respond in fear and anger and panic and worry and resignation, because we've prayed and because we know that the omnipotent God has heard our prayers and is faithful to act, we can remain calm, we can remain collected, we can remain confident that the world isn't falling apart, but rather falling in line with God's sovereign plans. Church, what separates us from the rest of the world is not a lack of problems, but the abundant supply of peace in times of problems. But that only comes when we pray. When we pray. Prayer should not be a last resort, but rather a first response. Prayer should not be on the back burner. It should be blazing a trail before us. Prayer is not a band-aid. It's first aid. Prayer is not a vacation from problems. It's victory over them. Ultimately, brothers and sisters, your lack of prayer is a demonstration of your lack of faith in God. Church, if you want peace for your weary, anxious minds, request in prayer. Come to God in prayer. Now, with that said, join us for prayer night this Sunday, right? Let's go to verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The Greek word here for think is, let me get this right, logizome. It's where we get the word logic from. It's better translated as to reckon, meaning to consider or to logically reason through. Paul gives us a list of things to think or reckon through. What is true, what is honorable, just and pure, lovely, commendable, any excellence worthy of praise. All of which we are to take into consideration and reason through in the midst of trials. Listen, if we want to have peace for our minds, to recover from mental exhaustion, number three, reckon the good. Reckon the good. See, I think the reason why Paul gives us this list of good realities to reckon or to consider is because he knew that we are very receptive to so much bad information. And even today, like fake news is not a 21st century term. It's just Greek for heresy, right? Like, Paul was very much against being influenced by the information of the world. And even contending for the truth. And so Romans chapter 12 verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5, he says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Paul even says to Timothy, giving him instructions in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, have nothing to do with irreverent silly myths, rather train yourself for godliness. All that to say, if Paul was alive today, he would be outside on the streets sitting at a table with a sign that says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, change my mind, right? That would be Paul today. But all of that to say, Paul gives a list of things to reckon so that we can better retain the peace of God in our lives. He says, whatever is true, the truth, specifically the truth of God's word. That's reality versus revelation, right? Do you listen to scripture over secularism, right? Whatever is honorable, he says, what is to be respected, viewed with reverence, what is worthy of honor, whatever is just, meaning whatever is right according to the standards of God. It also says whatever is pure, meaning what is holy, set apart, undefiled. Whatever is lovely, not lovely as in, girl, you lovely. No. It's whatever is worthy of your affection, what is worthy of investing your love in, whatever is commendable, something that is well spoken or admirable, excellence, that's moral uprightness, what demonstrates integrity, worthy of praise, things that deserve acknowledgement of and thanksgiving to God. Paul says, reckon these things, think about these things, consider them, reason through them. The idea is that as we are presented with all the information about the pandemic and the things of the world, we are to filter them through these things. When the world presents us with their version of truth, how does it line up to God's truth? When you are presented with the underbelly and the disgusting part of the world, consider instead what is holy and set apart. When you hear the skyrocketing numbers of those infected by the Rona, and praise God for all those who are recovering instead, and by His grace, and when you hear about all the injustices and happening in the world, don't forget about all the commendable things being done as well, and definitely the justice of God to come. Listen, this isn't about having a positive outlook on life. No, far from it. This is about allowing your minds to be renewed by God in order to see the world through Christ-centered, through a Christ-centered worldview. Church, perhaps the reason why our brains are so drained is because we have no filter. We're just allowing our brains to soak in any and all information out there without reasoning through them, filtering through them. It's how the internet works, really. It's set up for information, not investigation, right? We just get bombarded with so much information, but without the filter to investigate what's actually true and profitable to our souls. And as a result, our brains are exhausted. They're drained. Church, what are you filling your minds with? What are you allowing in to infiltrate your heart and influence your mind? What is your primary source of information? If your brain was an essay, right? Like, what would the works cited or the bibliography page look like? Church, reckon the good, because if you don't, all you are doing is receiving the bad. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. If you want to realign your mind to the peace of God, we need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to request in prayer. And we need to reckon the good. Church, I don't know what you have been going through in this pandemic and the trials that you've been experiencing, and maybe even the emotions that you've felt as news stories and developments all around the world happen. But let me tell you again, and let me invite you again, brother and sister, back to the peace of God. Let your mind be renewed once again by the Spirit of God. Paul ends our passage by saying, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace. We talked a lot about, you know, God being a God of justice and, you know, God, the God of justice, but what this passage tells us is that God is also the God of peace. What this statement implies is that God does not simply give us peace, but that He is the source of it, the creator of it. And this is an invitation for all of us who were once hostile towards God, who were once all sinners, right? Still sinners, in fact. That remember that the reason why we can have peace in the first place for our minds is because we receive peace for our souls. We receive peace between us and God through Christ. Our peace starts with Christ. Remember the hostility that we had towards God, that we were enemies of God. But because of Christ, because Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds we are healed. Because of Christ, brothers and sisters, we have access to this peace that surpasses all understanding. We are, in fact, in the family of God and are able to receive that peace directly. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 to 19, and I'll close with this. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two. So making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Members of the household of the God of peace. So church, I want to invite you. If your minds are exhausted, if your minds are weary, like mine is really, with all the things that's been going on, I invite you to realign yourself once again with the truths of God, with the promises of God in Christ, who is our peace. Rejoice in Christ. Recall to mind all the many ways that God has blessed you. Even now, even throughout the trials and this entire pandemic, rejoice. Rejoice once again at the thought of the coming Savior, Maranatha. Come to him in prayer. Bring all your concerns, all your anxiety, regardless of how little it might be or regardless how big it might be. God can take it. Bring your requests to God. Make your supplications known to him. And church, recognize the reason through all the things that we're receiving and information-wise and all the things that we are seeing in the world, reason through them. Recognize the filters that God has given us, and the things that are true, the things that are honorable, the things that are lovely, that are pure. Use that to focus your mind on the things of God, to see the world through a Christ-centered worldview. And for those who have not reconciled with God, I invite you, if you desire to have peace, let that peace start with your relationship with God. Again, we were hostile towards God. God being holy and us being depraved sinners, we were enemies. But through Christ, as we just read, he made it a way so that we would no longer be strangers, no longer foreigners, enemies of God, but that we might be accepted by his blood, by his sacrifice, his death and life and his resurrection, that we might be reconciled unto God. I pray that if you have not done that, if you have not come to a right relationship with God, that you would ask questions, that you would pry into that tonight and get your heart, get your relationship with God right. Church, we serve a God of peace. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for the word that you have brought us tonight, Lord God, recognizing all the things that have been going on in the past months that have been so stressful, so anxiety filled, and Lord, you know the situations of your people and maybe even the weariness of their minds from all the things that's been going on. And I pray, oh God, that we would all just find rest in you tonight, oh God. That we would all just find renewal of strength, renewal of mental fortitude in you tonight. That we all would all find peace once again in you tonight, oh God. I pray that you would refresh us, oh God. that you would refresh those who are weary and heavily laden, O God. That we would once again experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. God, we thank you for sending your Son that we might have peace with you, for reconciling us to you through the cross of Calvary. Thank you, O God, that you have brought peace to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we can stand on those grounds, no longer sinners, but sons and daughters of yours. God, we glorify you and we praise you. In Jesus, your mighty name, we pray these things. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you were blessed by the sermon today. If you would like to learn about the gospel or know more about our church, please visit pluslifepeople.com. Remember to subscribe for more content. Until next time, stay blessed.